go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. I was wondering if you have a breakdown of the kids' nationalities. I know that in general the D.C. area is heavily Salvadoran, but I was wondering if you could give us a breakdown of the nationalities. And also, you talked about the federal grant. I don't know if it's going to be announced today, but it would help us to get a list of the NGOs and other you know, community providers that have sought to help in this effort. I was wondering how much help you're getting from the federal government since Maryland is one of the few states that have, you know, had a kids-friendly policy towards the border crisis. Thank you.
Sure. I guess there are a couple things there, so if I forget any piece of it, we'll see if we can get that. First, you asked about the breakdown of kids. 92% of them are from three countries, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. Brian can follow up with you about the exact numbers, the breakdown percentages from each of those countries, but I would say that they're roughly equal from those three countries. But the exact percentages I know are available on a federal government website, but we can certainly track them down for you. For the folks, the people who have applied under the federal grant opportunity, I wouldn't know exactly everybody who has applied. The federal government would probably be a better source to answer that question. And I know there might have been another question that I forgot the answer to, or forgot the question.
Yeah, Marie asked about organizations that are involved. Many, and too many to mention on this call. But Ted listed earlier the major ones who came forward as part of today's legal discussion. But we've had every sort of kind of nonprofit and community group come forward, and we're very closely following the analytics on our website, which has shown thousands of people going to it and offering help. So I think you can characterize it as being anybody who's got the capacity to meet the needs of these kids, as varied as they are, is coming forward to help us, you know, coordinate that response.
Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Pamela Fessler of NPR News. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. A couple of questions. First, have you been given any heads up from ORR about how many more children that you should be expecting to come to the state, say, for the rest of this year? And in addition, I just want to clarify, as far as identifying the 2,200 that are already in the state, obviously they've told you that number, but it's my understanding that they don't tell you where these children are, that to provide help for them, it really has to come from, like, the families contacting either the state or some nonprofit or agency seeking help. Is that correct?
Yeah, so, Pam, that's correct, and that's one of the challenges that we've been discussing. We know that in order to help these families, we're going to have to find a way to connect to them, and they're coming forward in places where they feel comfortable, and some of those were shared with us earlier. There's obviously language barriers. There's the phenomenon of sort of bad actors wanting to prey on what are vulnerable families, kids and sponsor families. We know that one of our challenges is, you know, crafting a response that provides sort of multiple entry points for these families. So it's not going to be a single answer. You know, it would be great if it would be good enough to just set up a website, but we know that's not going to be a single solution. We have a lot of community providers that do have small offices and operations, so encouraging kind of walk-in conversations will be part of it, but it is you've put your finger on what is going to be an ongoing challenge for us.
But you haven't formulated this yet.
Well, I would just say we know that it's a big part of understanding this is going to be a big part of our response, and so we're listening to people who can help us with that.
And then the other question was if you've been given any indication how many more children to expect for the rest of this year.
I think there's some X factors that will drive that, and if somebody has a crystal ball that can tell me that, I surely would like to borrow it. I think a number of things are going to drive it. There's been reporting that the inbound number at the border is going down, but this is really there's a lot of things well beyond our control that are going to contribute to this projection. We just don't know.
Okay, thanks.
And as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone phone.
And one thing just to add to Ann's response, which was 100% accurate, was that I think the only thing that is a guidepost for us in terms of how many additional children may show up is it really depends on a lot of it, since most of these children are placed with family members here. I think it's a function of which children show up at the border and where their family members ultimately reside in the country. So it's not that there's a set share. I think the federal government is wisely looking to place these children with family members in the country already. So I think that drives the numbers. So that's why it's hard to us to give you a number.
And we'll take our next question from Kelly Groft of WMAR. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. We have a couple of questions here as well. With school starting in a couple of weeks, what is the plan? Do you know, are they going to be enrolled in local schools, or are schools getting any assistance to help with these children?
So, Kelly, the first thing it's important to keep in mind is that federal law has long established the right of all kids to attend public schools regardless of their immigration status.
Right.
And we know that schools will be seeing an uptick, and we'll be doing our best to coordinate with them and to deal with the sort of, you know, challenges that presents. And we're aware that this is having an impact in some of our larger jurisdictions, and we're available to try to help address that.
Okay, and go ahead.
Sarah Blumberg, also ABC2. Just a quick question. You know, as you're trying to reunite these children with obviously maybe distant relatives or relatives, what steps are being taken to ensure that they're entering into a safe environment, and what protocols of that, you know, to avoid exploitation and so forth, that they're being placed in a family environment that's obviously safe and is looking out for the best interests of these children?
So the federal government follows basically the same process that we would if we were placing a child in foster care here in Maryland. So they identify the resource, they do background checks. There's some initial, if it's foster care, there's some initial foster care training, but very similar to the process that any kid who is entering foster care in the state of Maryland would go through. The federal government is initiating almost identical process for placing children in families or placing them in federal foster care.
And just a real quick last question. You know, I've talked with local experts talking about a fear of creating an opportunity for sexual exploitation, and, you know, that continues to be a problem here in Maryland, trafficking and so forth. Is that on your radar, and what, I guess, responses are in play to ensure that that doesn't happen with the number of children coming in?
And I think it's obviously a concern, particularly any time that children are involved, and I think that's where the process that the federal government's going through in terms of screening families, if they're foster care families, or screening the families of relatives to verify that they are family members and that they go through certain background checks that you would expect for anyone who a child's being placed with, that's, I think, probably our best and most important safeguard against anything like that happening.
Gotcha.
Just one more question. This is Trando, also from ABC2. Just had a wondering whether you have an idea as to when these grant decisions will be made.
I think the timeline is about, and Brian can certainly get back to you with the exact timeline. I believe it's about a month that they're going to do it. The federal government will, the grant opportunity allows for up to 60 awards. They said they might do more across the country. So I think the expectation is that over the next month or so, they'll make those decisions, and that services would start roughly in October or late September for under those grant awards.
For families that are doing foster care, are they getting a stipend like the normal foster care system?
The way it will work is the federal government will contract with child placement agencies that will do the foster care placement services for them. And if you are a foster parent who's providing services or providing a home to those children through there, you will get a stipend just like a foster parent of a Maryland child would get.
Okay. Thank
but
you.
It's important to remember, yeah, the much larger share of these kids are going to be with sponsor families, their family members, in which they do not receive any sort of stipend. And that's why us having an appreciation of the burden that this places and that there will be long-term needs for them over the next few months is really important. As somebody said at a meeting yesterday when we were talking about how to, meet basic human needs, we don't want to end up with lots of teddy bears and no soap, right? So this is partly calibrating priority needs and being smart about how we reach these families.
And we'll take our next question from Lauren Mandeville of Lee Figaro. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. I was wondering whether you've met any resentment, grassroots resentment or political in Maryland to these kids coming to the state. And also I was wondering whether most of the families which are welcoming the kids are Latino or not.
So I would just, again, characterize that the calls in the context that we've been getting have been extremely positive. They've been people offering help of every variety. We had over 250 people go to the website and express an interest in becoming a foster parent. We've had offers of assistance and, from companies, from churches, from neighborhood associations, so we're seeing a response that's informed by an appreciation of how difficult the circumstances are for these kids. So we've been really encouraged by the kind of depth and breadth of response we've seen.
I think you also asked about some of the characteristics of the children who are arriving here, and mentioned before, almost all of them are from those three countries, and I think roughly 3 out of 4, or 74%, I think it's 72% of them are, this is nationwide, are young boys.